Title of my message is Sodomy, the New Monkey Morality. The New Monkey Morality. This morning we preached upon children, be straight. And we found out that straight and the word right are synonyms. If you're right, you're straight. The word wicked means crooked. Well, many times we use these words to speak, and it's biblical because the Bible says homosexuality is wicked. It's crooked. It's perverse. We've been preaching upon the list of sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 and 10. He says, "Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." So guess what? Christians, real believers, can do wrong. Peter says, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer." "Know ye not that the unrighteous..." People say, "Well, I'm not positionally unrighteous because I'm saved." But you might be practically unrighteous. You might be walking as men, as Paul says. "The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So therefore, you don't possess it. You don't enter it. "Be not deceived." So there's going to be a lot of people that will try to deceive you about this. "Neither fornicators nor idolaters." We studied that last week in regard to paganism, the Roman Catholic Church, the New Age movement. "Nor adulterers." We preached upon that, the forgotten sin in this age. But I tell you what, this effeminate, not only do they just forget it, they delete it from the new translations. Effeminate. Somebody doesn't want you to know cross-dressing is an abomination to God. Somebody doesn't want you to know that cross-dressing is a sin unto death. But notice this sin that's mentioned last in verse 9. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. These shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Dear Lord, help us as we preach against this sin in this day and age. Lord, get a hold of the young people, Father. Just let the Word of God be hidden in their heart that they might not sin against You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We've been preaching this series, these sins that are exclusion sins. If you commit them, you're worthy of exclusion and death. And you know, it's a sad thing in this day and age that such a sermon is necessary. In Paul's day, there were sins that were scarcely even mentioned among the Gentiles. And Paul says there are sins like fornication and other forms of uncleanness that should not even be named once among the saints. You should go years and years and years without ever even hearing of an example of a saint, a Christian, falling into these types of things. That's God's standard. In fact, Paul says it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That's why I'm saying it's a shame to have to preach this sermon today. I intend to obey the Bible's admonitions to use pure language. I intend to use the biblical language. But the Holy Ghost does say in the last days, what type of times will come? Perilous. There will arise a great falling away. The Bible says that. It's talking about believers. They will fall away. It said many believers will not endure sound doctrine. They will live by their lusts. And the thing about lust is it continues to scream for more. It's not satisfied with just one crookedness. But it likes to whine and get even more crooked. And that's the thing about lust. It'll never be satisfied. And once you set off, this is what people discover. Once a nation, once a civilization or a culture, once a person sets off to go down this road of lust, it takes you to all types of perversion, see. The perversion grows greater and greater until it destroys the person. Or destroys the city. Or destroys the country. It's for this reason that today a sermon against so filthy a sin is necessary. I thought in my mind that everyone knows that this is wrong. I'll just skip over that and say a few words about it. But I believe the Holy Ghost redirected me. And says, not any longer. Not anymore. It used to be where you could just say a few words and get on past this. And not anymore. Not anymore. God's people. God's people. Churches all across America. There are kids messing around with uncleanness and perversion. Like you find mentioned here. Because they're nothing more than fruits of what they've been fed with. They've been fed with Hollywood that's been training them to become effeminate, to become sodomites. The feminists think if we can raise up a generation of sodomites, they won't have any type of manliness to get in front of us, and we can bring in our kingdom of femininity, but it's not true femininity. It's femininity out of its place. And so you've got the feminists working overtime to raise a generation of homosexuals. You've got the New World Order. You've got humanists. You've got Satan himself trying to raise a generation of homosexuals. Having already destroyed marriage, at least culturally, having destroyed the family, at least culturally, they're now ready to try to normalize homosexuality. And pedophilia is right behind it. As they're trying to take it off the list of psychological disorders. See, that's what happens. At first it gets off the list of a psychological, quote, disorder. And then it becomes a standard accepted lifestyle. Well, you call it whatever you want. God calls it wickedness. Once they normalize cross-dressing, and once they perverted the role of the mother and the role of the father, and once they perverted masculinity and femininity, so nobody knows. Girls raised up, they don't even know what it means to be a lady. Men don't know what it means to be a man. Now, with all of this in place culturally, it's time to normalize homosexuality. You know, there's still a fight. Isn't it good to know there's still a fight? Isn't it good to know that God does have some people that are not ready to surrender to the culture? They're not ready to walk like the other Gentiles. They're not ready to just hide their light because the world says so. And we're not only resisting here. No, no, no. I refuse to just sit here and resist. We're taking back lost ground, see. See, we're going back. He said, you can't go back to the 1800s. You want to make a bet? Watch and see. There's some things you don't want to go back to, but there's some old paths. You say, well, that's the battle over for the 1920s. Well, I don't care. I'm raising my children to obey the whole counsel of the Word of God. And I don't care if some of these things have already been law. I'm going to teach my children what dressing like a lady is and what dressing like a man is. I'm going to teach my children to obey their parents, to respect their elders. I don't care if these things have already been lost culturally. I think it's time to take back the ground. That's what I want to do in Kingdom Baptist Church. We're not just going to sit back and say, this is our battle. You know, we decided that pedophilia and bestiality is the new battle for today. Just try to hold the line. No way. That's ridiculous. The devil wants to fight, he'll fight over ankles. Amen? You want to fight? Then let's fight over ankles. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Hey, I'd rather fight there than fight over thighs. Amen? Are y'all listening? See, I don't believe you can raise a generation of children in godliness without the whole counsel of God. I don't think you can let some of the foundations be destroyed and say, well, I just won't let them do such and such. I won't let them become drug addicts and fall into cannibalism. Give me a break, folks. Do you understand that cross-dressing, once they lost that battle, it set them up for the whole homosexual movement? The sexual revolution was the forerunner of the homosexual so-called revolution. Do you understand that? Away with immodesty. Away with divorce. Away with role switching and cross-dressing. People say, well, you know what? I'm not even convicted about that anymore. It doesn't matter. The Bible says that so many would not endure sound doctrine. It's time to get back to the book. You could call us old-fashioned, call us Neanderthals, like President Palin, calling everybody a Neanderthal. If she's not president, she probably will be. God is still God. The Bible is still true. Has God changed? Has God changed? Sin is still sin. It doesn't matter if everybody joins hand in hand and says, Supreme Court, like I said this morning, we have basically voted that this is no longer a sin. Sin's still sin. I don't care if a bunch of Catholics get on the Supreme Court and tell you it's no longer sin. It's still sin. And you know what? It still leads to death and hell. It still leads to guilt. You can hold hands, go out to a bar, let everybody pat you on the back, say, I'm so glad you left that Neanderthal, old-fashioned church, that legalistic, pharisaical church. I'm so glad you got in the 21st century and you're progressive and liberal with us. I'm so glad. You know what, folks? You're not going to change the guilt that comes from sin. Your heart knows that it is wrong and you're going to be depressed and it's going to destroy you. You can't change it. But this is the problem they're having. See, they can tell all these kids, this stuff's acceptable. It's okay. You don't have to worry about it. You can be a homosexual. It's all right. But you know what they can't change? They can't change the depression that comes from sin. They cannot change the diseases. They cannot change these things. And in their wrath, they're angry. So they need a scapegoat. Just like early Rome, all of the destruction that Nero and them were bringing upon the Roman Empire, we need a scapegoat. It's those Christians that are causing all the calamity. All these kids committing suicide. It's the Christians. No, it's not. It's your own guilt. It's your heart. You know in your heart this stuff is stinking, filthy, and wrong. And you've learned that it doesn't matter if your school tells you it's okay. It doesn't matter if some movie tells you it's okay. It is filthy, stinking wrong. And it's going to make you feel bad. You understand that? The kingdom warning here says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says salvation is by grace through faith alone. It's not by being good that you're saved. It's not by being good that you stay saved. It's by simply believing in the finished work of Christ. His righteousness is perfect. It can never be undone. It can never be lessened. His righteousness has paid the law in full. And I'll tell you something, it is finished. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus, you have, Jesus said, you take a drink of this, you'll never thirst again. You hear me? You'll never thirst again. It is done. It is settled. But the Bible does say, if you don't obey Jesus after you're saved, and you start walking in sins like you see here, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the temporary kingdom, the kingdom that comes to an end, that thousand-year kingdom that the Lord Jesus the book of Revelation tells us about in chapter 20. And I'm going to tell you something, there's going to be believers that will not enter that 1,000-year kingdom. So let's deal with this horrible sin of sodomy. You know, this sin is referred to in many ways in the Bible. You little ones say, well, what in the world is this? It's men wanting to be married to other men. It's women wanting to be married to other women. And God said that's an abomination. One of the ways God refers to this sin in the Bible is sodomy. Sodomy comes from the city Sodom that God dropped fire upon and burned. So a sodomite is anyone that lives like the sodomites lived, that angered God so much that he dropped fire. I mean, they were looking up in the sky, and I'm sure they just saw something coming, and it would just envelop the whole land, and the thing just came down and just burned every one of them. Ooh, horrifying. I mean, it just blew them up. Fire from God. I believe it was the eternal fire of God that came down. I believe it was God's fire. I believe it was a fire that can burn not only bodies, but souls. I think it's the same fire that's in hell. The same fire that'll be in the lake of fire. It's the fire that God breathes. I think God looked down upon them and breathed. And I believe that fire enveloped Sodom. And they burned with the fires of hell while they were standing there. Genesis 19 says, they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. What did the men of Sodom want to do? They were wicked. Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Well, there's a problem right there. Lot's already accepted them as his brethren. You see that? Lot's done settled down in Sodom. And even though he was righteous in many ways, he had some confusion in some things, didn't he? Well, Lot says, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. I do believe that it's possible for a Christian or a believer to fall in to all kinds of unclean sins. I'm not going to measure the depths of iniquity that a Christian or believer can fall into. It's unbelievable what a Christian can do. The Bible says so. You can just turn off your mind and walk in the flesh, and every one of you are capable of it. God will discipline you, but there's many that don't respond to His chastisement until God just turns the light out and kills them. But I want you to see here, what does God call their sin? Wickedness. Wickedness. Wicked means crooked. Perverted. Back in the 70s, television shows could call homosexuals queers. They even used words that you would consider not acceptable among Christians. And it was normal. But they were preparing you, see. That's where we were at in the 70s. They had to start breaking down these walls. Ezekiel 16, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Here's what Sodom did wrong. Pride. It all begins with pride, doesn't it? Fullness of bread. There you go. You know, you start prospering a little bit and you start getting away from God. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Okay, they didn't go do things that were right. Just idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty. And then finally God says, they committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. See, all these things, the pride, the prosperity, the idleness, that all led to them committing abomination. And the abomination was the sin of sodomy. It was the sin of homosexuality. There were other abominations too. I'm sure fornication and all other forms of uncleanness were there in Sodom. But they'd hit the bottom. Do you understand? They were partaking of this abomination of called homosexuality. If you want to see it straight, look at Jude chapter 1, verse 7. One chapter in the book of Jude, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. Notice it is spread to other cities. You got a city that's around you that's corrupt. It spreads. That corruption of the city spreads to the cities around it, you see. And notice it says, giving themselves over to fornication. See, homosexuality is a form of fornication. And going after strange flesh. So I believe they were committing what you normally think of as fornication, but they were also going after strange flesh. What does that mean? It means that a man with a man is strange. It's wicked. It's crooked. It's not what God intended. A woman marrying a woman, that's crooked. So God says to everybody, listen to this. He set them forth for an example. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. See, I believe God's eternal fire came down out of the sky and burned them to a crisp. And of course they went to hell afterwards. So God said, do you see what I did to Sodom? Let all cities, all nations, all kingdoms, all peoples behold my example. God called it vengeance. God says, I will repay. I made you upright. You want to act like an animal, a dirty animal? God says, I will take vengeance upon you. So anybody that says, I want to believe the world and I want to mess around with sodomy, God says, I will take vengeance upon you. You might be one of those people that they'll have on TV. And it'll be strange wonders of the world. The person was here, and the next moment, they were just a pile of ashes. And they'll have your ashes on TV and say, he was just sitting here, and he just disappeared, and now we just have these ashes. What happened? Eternal fire came down. God doesn't have to judge you that way. But I'm not going to tell you it won't happen. There were some offering strange fire, and what happened to them? The Lord smote them with fire, didn't He? Hey, what about this? Verse 8, likewise, also these filthy dreamers. See, do they have a sound mind? No, they have filthy dreams. You see this? Defile the flesh. God calls them filthy and says they defile the flesh. They despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. So this means they got an authority problem. Notice, the sin of Sodom began with pride and haughtiness. See? They said down south, gay pride got Sodom fried. And I do think that's true. Because your pride is what leads. Your pride is what leads to you not fearing God. And the devil will wait. He says, okay, they've taken another step. They've taken another step. And the devil will just let you go, step by step. They've got an authority problem. And they ended up sodomites. 1 Kings 14, there were also sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. There were sodomites. You know there's sodomites in the land today? Did y'all know that? Y'all know there's sodomites in Mansfield? There's sodomites in Fort Worth? There's sodomites in our country? Do you know that? And they do all of the abominations that God cast the Canaanites out for. God judged the Canaanites.
And you know what? The Canaanites don't look much different. They did not look much different. You look at some of the archaeology and see what they had, big old giant things in their ears. They had stuff stuck all in their nose. They were piercing themselves all over. They had their hair all spiked with things all over and tattoos and markings and cuttings all over their body. And they were living like a bunch of filthy animals. And God said, I destroyed all of them.
They went after strange flesh. And God killed Sodom. Don't you let a homosexual tell you, well, Sodom died. Those Sodomites were killed for some other reason. Don't you let them lie to you. The Bible tells you why. Strange flesh. That means perverted flesh. They went after perverted flesh. They weren't normal. They were abnormal. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 23, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. Do you see that? God says He won't put up with it. He won't put up with it. Leviticus 20, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Leviticus 18, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Defile not yourself in any of these things. What does it say up there in Jude? This type of sin defiles the flesh. It defiles your body. What does He say here? Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. What did God do? He killed them all. What did God do to Sodom? He killed them. What did He do to the Philistines and the Canaanites? He killed them. Why did He kill them? Why did He execute them? Why did He banish them from their land? For defilement. Physical defilement. The land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereupon upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. God says you can defile the very earth. You can defile the land. God looks down and He sees the cities of Fort Worth and Mansfield, the whole DFW Metroplex, and He said the whole land, even the dirt, has become defiled with their filthiness. You know, people get confused about the Old Testament. They say, you're quoting the Old Testament. Sometimes I have homosexuals write me. I'm not even preaching against homosexuality. They write me about certain things, you know. They're convicted or upset about something. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you quoted the Old Testament. The Old Testament. And that's not for us today. Well, you need to understand something. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is New Testament. And Jude, verse 7, that's New Testament. Do you see that? But let's deal with this Old Testament situation for a second. They understand that we are not under the law for salvation. We are not under the law as a way. In other words, you don't go to the Old Testament and obey everything you see to try to be saved. See, you don't obey the Ten Commandments to try to be saved in eternity. God has fulfilled the law. It's by grace that you're saved. If He said it was through fulfilling the law, none of you would be saved. I wouldn't be saved. Only Jesus fulfilled and obeyed the law perfectly. But hold on a second. They go further than that. They say, we're not to even obey the Old Testament as a way of life. And then you say to that, you're partly right and you're partly wrong. There are parts of the Old Testament that were written to the Jews, and there were ceremonial teachings, ceremonial laws given to the Jewish people. And God says, I've given it to no other on the earth. Nobody else has ever received these ceremonial laws. And they were to the Jewish people, only for them, meant for them. And when you get to the New Testament, Hebrews says there is now a changing of the law. You are now under Christ. But here's the thing I want you to realize. Christ did not just immediately delete all the moral commandments that were in the Mosaic law. Many of those moral commandments, all of them that deal with morality, as you know it, those things
are in the New Testament. Those things are commanded to us. They are still for you today. Say, how do you know? You could simply look in Ephesians 6. Paul says, children, obey your parents, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Who are you writing to? He's writing to Ephesians, which are Gentile Christians. What does he say to them? Hey, that's the first commandment with promise. He expected them to know the Old Testament. He expected them to read it and follow the moral commands thereof. He tells to Timothy, he says, of a child, you've known the Holy Scripture. What Scriptures was that? Old Testament, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. That's the Old Testament. We have New Testament Scripture, but when he wrote it, that's Old Testament. The Old Testament tells you how to live. The Old Testament gives you moral commands. Why do people make it so confusing? Do you know that there's more here? Everything I said was true, but there's so much more here. God said He cast out the nations for these sins. Now, if He judged the Canaanites for these sins, this cannot be a sin, a commandment just given to Israel. These nations didn't even have a Bible as far as we know. But God came down and destroyed the city of Sodom. He destroyed the Canaanite nation. Why did He do that? Because they know from natural law, they know from the law written upon their heart that sodomy is wrong, that sodomy is evil. And God says, you don't need a Bible and I'll kill you for sodomy. Do you understand that? You don't have to have a Bible. You don't need New Testament or Old Testament to know you're a pervert if you walk this way. Your own conscience knows you're a pervert if you walk this way. And not only that, God testifies that you're but a dead man. Let me tell you this. Whatever God killed somebody for that was a Gentile in the Old Testament, if He killed a Gentile for an abomination, He will still kill you today for it. He will kill Americans for it. If God said, don't fall into witchcraft and abominations and fornications and cross-dressing and homosexuality and bestiality, for all these things, I cast out these nations. Do you think God will let America? God will let America walk in these things? No. See, there's something called natural law. It's the laws written in your own conscience. That's why there's so much guilt. That's why there's guilt when you fornicate, when you become a sodomite, when you abort your child. All of these things. You might say, well, I'm telling myself that it's okay and all my friends tell me I'm all right. But your heart knows. Your conscience knows it is wrong. And no matter what you do, it's a strange thing. You're sitting there understanding, wow, I just feel really bad. I feel really dark right now. I feel just really morbid and depressed. What's going on? Because your conscience knows that these things are wrong. They're sins unto death. Whatever God killed a Canaanite for, He'll kill an American for. And probably the American's in more trouble. Because you have far more light than a Canaanite ever had. You've had history now. You're after the coming of Jesus. You've got Bibles, hotels, Walmart. So God says this sin is an abomination. That means it's disgusting to God. That means He hates it. He calls it an abomination. Then God says it's defilement. You defile your conscience. You defile your soul. You defile your body. 1 Timothy 1, whoremongers and them that defile themselves with mankind.
for men stealers, perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Okay? So teaching against being a whoremonger, teaching against defiling yourself with mankind, that's sound doctrine. But the Bible said in the last days, there it is, 2 Timothy 4, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So if they're not going to endure sound doctrine, that means you will have people actually saying, it's all right with God for me to defile myself with mankind. It's all right with God for me to be a homosexual. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Homosexuality is called defiling yourself with mankind. It is an abomination. You say, what does defile exactly mean? In the word defile, you see the word foul. Sewer water is foul water. Septic water, foul water. Foul water. So what is defilement? To make something filthy. That's, you defile something when you foul it. You defile something when you do something filthy. When you do something filthy with your body, you defiled your body. When you do something filthy, you have become morally defiled. So God says, it defiles your flesh. It is an abomination. But notice what else He says. It's also abuse. 1 Corinthians 6, our verse for today, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. A doctor in Israel has pages and pages and pages and pages that I will not share with you today to show how it abuses yourself. Oh, he has the medical statistics to show you that God is your creator. And God knows what He intended for mankind. So you need to put all these things together and know anybody that becomes a homosexual is abusing themselves, defiling themselves. God says in Romans 1, this cause He gave them up into vile affections. Vile. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against what? Against nature. People say, show me in the Bible where this is wrong. I don't have to. They say, well, show me in nature. Depends on what you mean by nature. If you mean nature, you mean a bunch of filthy animals that don't have any reason. That's not what God means by nature. What God means by nature is your conscience. What God means by nature is your heart. The moral law that He put in your heart. Certainly it's against design. It's against how God intended you to be. But it's also against that moral law that God put inside of everybody. By all means, use the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord, New Testament, Old Testament. Homosexuality is an abomination. But God expects you to understand this apart from the Bible. You ought to be able to see it. The Bible just confirms what He puts in nature. Your heart. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet, which was fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What do we see in Romans? Same thing we saw in the Old Testament. God says, I killed the Canaanites because they were sodomites. I killed the Canaanites because they were cross-dressers, fornicators, witches, astrologers, necromancers, and homosexuals. And God killed them for it. Paul says this thing's against nature. It's like when Paul goes on to say in Corinthians, and he says, you know, long hair on a man and short hair on a woman is against nature. He says, judge in yourself. What does he mean? He means you don't need the Bible to know this thing. Judge in yourselves. Look look at all nations at all time when they are at their highest. All these philosophers, all these poets, judging yourself. If you'll really look in your own heart and understand, you'll see that you know that's perverted. Judging yourselves. Does not nature itself teach you these things? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Does not nature itself teach you that if a woman shave her head off, it's a shame? That if a woman have short hair, it's a shame unto her? Does not nature teach you that? Does not nature itself teach you that there ought to be clothes for a woman and clothes for a man and you ought not switch them? Does not nature teach you that? Does not nature teach you? Does not that inner law that God put in all men that's written in your heart, does that not teach you that God did not intend men to lie with men? These kids go into school learning that it's normal to have two daddies in the home. Two mommies. That's considered normal. I tell you what, it was perverted when God destroyed Sodom and it's still perverted. And anybody that teaches it to a child, the Bible has a warning for you that it'll be better for you if a millstone was hung around your neck and you dropped in the depth of the sea. You are a pervert if you teach such a thing. I tell you, the school teacher, you are a pervert if you teach such a thing. Well, my principal told me to. Well, he's a pervert. And I'm getting just about sick and tired of paying for their stinking, filthy, humanistic school system. I'm getting just about tired of Christians standing up, paying for their filthy, sick, defiled, humanistic, antichrist school system to go indoctrinate all these children in a bunch of trash. I'm getting sick and tired of it. And if people are going to continue paying for that trash, then we ought to be in front of the schools giving our opinion about it. Because we got the Word of God. Yeah, I'll pay for your sick trash and I'll stand out in front of your school and tell you what I think about it. Sister Jan, she did that for a lot. Praise God for her. We need some more folks rising up. Nobody told you can't be on that sidewalk. Nobody told us we can't go to them school and say, well, this is what they're going to tell you inside, but here's what God says. I tell you what. We just sit back and pay for this type of insanity. Do you see what else God says here? God says it is the abuse of yourself. God says they're going to receive in themselves that recompense. That means the payment that they are due because of their error. God says, notice what homosexuality does. Just look at them, says God. Watch them, says God. And watch them receive in their own bodies payment from God for their filthiness. That's what God says. Do you realize you live in a very interesting time? You live in a time when Israel has become a nation.
Amen. Thank God.
Stage setting for the tribulation. 1947-48, Israel declared a nation back in their own land. Oh, that's not all though. You live in a generation that said in the 1920s, it's okay to be immodest. It's okay to dance in lewdness. And boy, the New York Times, they mocked, said, well, these preachers are telling us that we're bringing in the sexual revolution and that we're going to destroy civilization. You know, these foolish preachers. And so they mocked the preachers. Well, you had a sexual revolution. You had the insanity. Then all of a sudden it led to no-fault divorce. Then all of a sudden it led to all of this fornication and all of this abortion that you see. And then you know what they started doing? The disco days hit. It was time to party and parade and say, we're homosexuals and we're proud.
God forbid.
And then you know what God did? They all started dying. Millions of them by AIDS. Dropping down everywhere. You just falling. Everybody all over the world falling with AIDS all everywhere you look. And they got very angry. And they say, if you ever say
that AIDS was a judgment. How evil, how bigoted, how awful and horrible you are. Well, I say back to you, how awful and horrible you are to have Scripture like this staring you in the face and then to see it. You have grown up a generation that saw the judgment of God come upon people in exactly how God said it would happen. And we still tempt God? After watching such a thing? That's like in the Old Testament where they're fornicating, all of a sudden everywhere you look, they're all just dropping like flies. They're all being slain by God. And God says, these things are your warning that you might not fall into the same sin. I tell you what, it'd be foolish any age, but it'd be very foolish to see what God did unto the homosexual community and is still doing. And then say, I'm still going to flaunt myself against God in my haughtiness. Can there be anybody so foolish? See, God says in Proverbs 5, His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his own sins. What does that mean? It means, yeah, God judges you. He might bring down fire out of heaven like He did with Sodom. But God says also, sometimes I just leave you to your sin, and your very sin causes you to destroy yourself. Diseases. Oh, I tell you what, they let it rip in the 1970s. All in the Family, Archie Bunker. They acted like he was representative of all the conservative Christians, and he'd get on his little show and start railing against homosexuals, you know, and calling them fairies and all that. And they'd always humiliate him, you know, by the end. And so the 70s, boy, they're just pompous. They're just clapping their hands and laughing and mocking the Christians and mocking the Word of God, humiliating them, turning them into a bunch of bigots that can't think, bunch of Neanderthals. And then you see what God did to them. See, God spoke. God spoke. Say, well, AIDS came from among... I don't care where it came from. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's a judgment upon that sin. You understand that? You know, it's abuse of your body to fall into sodomy. It's also abuse of your mind and soul. Here's September 2003. Gays faced a high risk of mental problems. 2 out of 3 gay, lesbian, and bisexual people are likely to have mental health problems compared to just 1/3 of heterosexuals, according to the largest study of its kind in the UK. Until 1992, homosexuality was classified as a mental disorder by the World Health Organization. Sometimes they got to catch up with themselves. You see what I mean? They pushed so far. Then they have to recalculate it all. Until 1992, even the world said, you got a mental disorder. Now see, it's not a mental disorder. It is of sorts, but it's not a malady. It is something for which you are responsible, see. Now this isn't new information. They're not sitting here in 2003 scratching their head and saying, you know what? It seems that these homosexuals, they're depressed. Go back to the New York Times back in 1969. Dr. Sakharides, who rates the incidence of suicide and alcoholism as high among lesbians, insists that a vocal minority of a society is trying to sell a bill of goods that homosexuality is normal. The homosexuals themselves know it is not normal, he asserted. You've got worldly doctors saying, oh, it's so simple to see why you get depressed when you are a homosexual. Because it's not normal. Right. 1969. Doctors. But you know what they're doing today? They're blaming the Christian. They're blaming your view of morality. These kids are committing suicide because of you. So they say, has this kid ever been picked on for being homosexual? Yeah, well, that was why he committed suicide. Well, guess what?
And I've said it before. If you put a fake nose on you, or do something really dumb and foolish and abnormal and walk around, people are going to laugh. They're going to mock. Because you're twisted. You're not normal. You can't put hooks and things and look like you got stuck on a fish hook. You can't stick that stuff all over you looking like bait. You know, you can't put all that stuff inside and walk around looking like some ancient Philistine and not have people look and think you're abnormal. But they want to be accepted as normal. I don't justify bullying in a sinful way. But I, you know, it is proper to say, you're doing something that's wrong, man. It's going to kill you and it's perverted and you ought to get right. And if that person commits suicide, it's not because they were told to do right. The person that told them to do right was saving their life. It's the perverts that told them that what they're doing is normal and acceptable. You are the murderers. You're the ones that murdered these kids. Joe Osteen says, if you came to our church, I'm not going to speak like he speaks. And I'd appreciate it if y'all wouldn't do it either. It gives me the creeps. If you came to our church, Joy, you would see people from all walks of life. We don't have a sign at the door, no gays, no drunkards, no people's on drugs. We're for everybody. We're not against people. Well, you know what? We'll stick a sign up on our door that says we're not for gays, we're not for drunkards, we're not for fornicators, and I'm going to stick it right up there on the door. You say, well, that's not like Jesus. Sure it is. Because if you want to change, if you say, I don't want to be this anymore, every one of us, many of us that did not grow up in Christian home, we've all sinned in certain ways. Jesus is for those who sin. You better believe it. But you got to get rid of your sin. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to grow in Him. And church is a community of believers who want to grow with God. They don't want to continue being a homosexual. I don't mind at all sticking up there on the front. This isn't for homosexual. You want to stay a homosexual? Don't come here. You want somebody to pray with you and help you leave your sin? You come here. Amen. We'll be right here with you. I'll spend hours with you praying and discussing the Scriptures. You want to keep your filthy sin? Just leave it outside the door. Bye. I don't want you in here. You're not going to come in and defile my children. So Joel Osteen doesn't know what he's talking about. Joy Behar, or whoever she is, I guess the commentator lady, she says, when you say that the Bible is against gays, see, even Joe Osteen with his syrupy, mushy, even he gets bullied by these people. So that just goes to show, you might as well just teach it right. Okay? When you say that the Bible is against gays, that makes people get bullied and bad things happen to people because of what the people say about that. Well, what happens when they call Christians bigots? What happens when they mock Christians in all of their little shows and cartoons and make them look like a bunch of bigots and idiots? What are you doing to Christians? What are you doing to people that choose to live a Christian lifestyle? What are you doing when you say a baby is just a fetus and mocking the babies? Doesn't it cause them to get bullied? Oh yeah, mama start killing them then. And abortion, it's just a fetus. I'll just kill it. Well, the things you say get gays bullied. Well, the things you say get a lot of babies aborted. So I guess now we can't speak against pedophilia. It might get them beat up.
Good.
Come on. We can't speak about robbers. It might get them beat up. Isn't this insanity, folks? I don't need to go down this road anymore. It's just insanity. The truth is truth. You can't change it. Proverbs 13, good understanding giveth favor. But the way of transgressors is hard. That's in the Bible, folks. God said that. You have a hard life because you're living the life of a transgressor. You're depressed, not because some Christian yelled at you on the street. You're depressed because the way of a transgressor is hard. Notice, good understanding giveth favor. It's very interesting how God did this. See, when you walk in understanding, it gives you favor with God and with man. So God's showing a hard life is when you fall out of favor with God. You want to see this illustrated for you? Do you remember Cain? Did Cain do right or do wrong? Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth?" He knows why he's wroth. Just like he's saying to every homosexual today, "Why are you depressed?" He wants the homosexual to answer. "Why is thy countenance fallen? Where did your joy go? Why are you such a depressed, mopey kid? Why do you look like you're angry and got a chip on your shoulder?" God knows. So God answers. "If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted?" Oh, I see now. Do you know what life is based on? Being accepted with God. Knowing that God is pleased with what you're doing. I tell you what, that's what life is. That's how to be happy. To know that God is pleased with you. See, they say, "Well, we have all of these needs, these psychological needs." No, I tell you what one need you have. You have a need to go please God and have favor with God. Cain didn't have it. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." God says you'll fall into more sin because you're depressed. And what do these homosexuals do? They get out here and they sin. They get depressed. Then they go do drugs and fall into more sin. They try to heal their sin. They try to heal their depression with more sin. That's pouring gasoline on a fire. You understand that? What you need to do is repent of your filthy sin and God will wash you clean. Isn't it good that God will forgive you? Isn't it good God? You'll say, "I've already sinned so bad God couldn't forgive me." You want to make a bet? God can. And God will. But you got to stand up and walk away from your filthiness. To be saved, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But to come into fellowship with God and find favor with Him, you have to leave your filthy sin. Paul says, "Our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience." You say, "I don't have any joy in my life." Well, that's your conscience telling you that you're out of favor with God. You commit a sin that's abominable. You commit a sin that defiles your body and soul. You commit a sin that the Bible says is abuse. And then God says it comes with its own judgment that's fitting for the sin. You better believe you're not happy. No wonder you're not happy. Finally, it's a sin that dishonors the body. Romans 1. Verse 24, "God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." I know folks right now that said, "I just want to flirt around and play with the world a little bit. I don't want to do anything bad, really, really bad. I'm just tired of living, you know, like a fundamental. I just want to go out here and party a little bit." And God turns them over to a homosexual mind. You know that? Do you think they started out saying, "I'm going to go be a homosexual"? They didn't start out like that. The Bible says, you dishonor your body. Dishonor your body. God says, possess your body. Possess your vessel in honor. Don't do something that dishonors your body. Homosexuality dishonors your body. It treats the body like garbage. And how did it all come about? Romans 1 says they had a wrong view of God. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. They acted like God was a creature, just like them. And they turned the glory of the Godhead into a creature. And God said, for that reason, I turned them over. I gave them up to dishonor their bodies and become a bunch of homosexuals. You want to see this? Give me a few seconds, a few minutes, okay? Give me a few more minutes. I want to show you this. In the mid-1800s, a man named Darwin came up with a perverted lie that's already been an old perverted lie. And he says, everything evolved. That's where we came from. We're just glorified animals. You used to be a chipmunk or a chimpanzee or something, and after time, you know, the Jell-O became a chipmunk, the chipmunk became a chimpanzee, and the chimpanzee became a human or a Neanderthal, and the Neanderthal became a whatever, you know. So, all right, now listen. What did they do? They ended up with this teaching of evolution. And men began to say, well, hey, we need to apply that to morality. We need to apply it and call it social evolution. And then they got control of the public school. And so now, the children are being taught evolution. The whole 20th century, a generation of children taught evolution. Now, what did God say is going to happen? If you do not like to retain God in your knowledge, and you want to make God a creature. See, they worship the God of evolution. What is that? It's just some force. It turns God into basically God is nothing more than just this evolving mechanism. Basically, I'm a glorified animal. See, that's what it did. It brought God down to the creature. And instead of man being exalted, being made in the image of God, no, you're just soup. Somehow or another, you're soup. You're a monkey. You're just soup. Sometimes on the street, that's all we say is, I just hand out tracts and say, hey, you didn't come from a monkey. They look at you like you're crazy, you know. You didn't come from a monkey. Your grandpa's not a chimpanzee. Sometimes that's all you can tell these people. Now, what did God say would happen? I will turn you over to a reprobate mind, and you're going to become a bunch of homosexuals. Homosexuality is a judgment. It's a judgment because of evolution. And as long as we continue with evolution, you'll have homosexuality. And you'll die. And the whole civilization will die. God will have it invaded, wiped out. In the 1930s, Dr. Schmalhausen wrote a book called Our Neurotic Age. And he sat there and watched hours and hours and days he watched monkeys. He says, you know, monkeys do a lot of sick and perverted things. He said, you know, monkeys are pretty filthy. He said, the longer you watch a monkey, the longer you realize how dirty and filthy it is. Is that what he said? No, you know what he did? He sat there and watched those monkeys. And he said, we can learn from this. Monkey see, monkey do. I'm a monkey too. We're all a bunch of monkeys. Because that's what evolution tells us. We're just glorified monkeys. So therefore, he began to teach all of these college kids in the 30s that if a monkey does it, you can do it. Because you're just a monkey. So he wrote, there is no absolute certification from nature for heterosexuality. The very concept of perversion loses so much of its meaning. We are born perverts. You come from monkeys. You are evolved from a monkey. Monkeys are perverts. And you are a pervert. You know what the book of Jude says? In the last days, they'll be like brute beasts. They'll be like filthy brute beasts. What's Jude saying? They're going to be like a bunch of monkeys. Is the Bible true? Did God see it all? God says you fall into evolution, you'll become a bunch of homosexuals. What happened? You have Darwin, you get into the public schools. By 1930, a few decades later, he's teaching everybody, guys, it's okay to be homosexuals. Monkeys are homosexuals sometimes. Okay, then in the same time period, the humanists began to brag. I've quoted it to you before. Charles Potter, National Education Association, says in a few decades, you will not be able to have church in America. We have your kids for 5 days a week, and the Sunday school cannot compete with 5 days a week of evolution, humanistic propaganda. So what did they say? The same time Schmalhausen was telling everybody they're monkeys, so you ought to live like a monkey. Charles Potter said, it's over. We won. In a few decades, you won't be able to have church in America unless it's a humanistic monkey church. Charles Potter was the one that had a big old monkey in his church. Basically said, this is your ancestor. Fast forward here. A few years ago, at Highlands Church in Denver, Colorado, the Reverend Mark Tidd is trying to change that. He has opened his church to gays and lesbians and fully accepted homosexuality. He said, you know what? I'm tired of people saying that we'll let you come to church, but we don't condone your lifestyle. He says, no, no, we're going to be more accepting. We're going to condone your lifestyle. Now you got other pastors getting on the TV, radio, or internet and basically saying, I'm gay, I'm coming out. Let them know. Spread it all around. Let them know that we think it's filthy. We think you are perverts. We think you're killing kids. We think you're murderers. And Pastor Foss said you're a bunch of sick perverts. That's what I say. But I'm not saying that out of my own heart. Well, yeah, I am. I'm saying it out of my own heart, and I'm also saying it from the Word of God. All right. Last verse for you today. Thank you for your patience. Proverbs 16, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not go or shall not be unpunished. Though everybody hold hands and say, we are the world, we are the perverted world, we are the abnormal perverted world. Though everybody hold hands and drink Coca-Cola and say, we are the gay sodomite world, you'll all die of AIDS. Do you see it? You'll get some disease and you'll die. Am I happy about that? No, I'm not. But while I'm sad about it, and I think it's terrible, our Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. So young men, young ladies, God didn't create you to be a chimpanzee or an ape. God commanded you and created you to be upright, to walk like a human being made in the image of God, to not be filthy and dirty and gross and unclean, but to be pure and possess your bodies in honor. And I pray that this message will be a warning to you to not listen to the filthy, stinking world that's dying and going to hell. They'll have their judgment. Dear God, bless these folks. Bless us all, Lord. We thank you for your holy truth. We're not ashamed, God, that we live our life by the book. It might be old-fashioned, but to us it's truth, God. And I know it is the truth. Oh, Lord, what perfect precision you predicted the future in, God. How amazing you saw through all of this, Lord. Reading the Bible is gives us an amazing view by which to judge our world. Father, put the fear of God in this whole house. Put trembling, Lord. Let their hands shake with fear. Let there be no more presumption and haughtiness and pride. For you are real, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We have a few words from some of